Chapter 6, The Song of Mary and the Song of Hannah. My heart rejoices in the Lord. 1 Samuel 2, verse 1. It was suggested previously that Mary would have left Nazareth immediately upon hearing from Gabriel news of the blessing extended to Elizabeth. It would have taken her several days to reach the hill country of Judea and the sanctuary of Elizabeth's devout and priestly home. On the way, her fertile and spiritual mind must have been abuzz with questions, speculations, and meditations. Spiritually alert as we know Mary was, her thoughts must have turned to examples of divine intervention in the lives of the faithful, and in particular to instances where God had intervened to effect a miraculous conception. The case of Sarah must have come to mind. That miracle is central to the theme of the seed of Abraham, a theme taken up in Mary's song, and Gabriel made a clear allusion to Sarah's divinely enabled conception in Luke 1, verse 37, "For with God nothing will be impossible." But Sarah was an elderly woman of great estate and highly regarded. She was firm at the center of her ecclesial life at the time. Mary is unlikely, therefore, to have seen Sarah's as a case which closely paralleled to her own situation. In the days of the judges, an angel had appeared to the wife of Manoah and promised her a son who would be devoted to the service of God as a Nazarite and who would begin to deliver Israel. Judges 13, verses 3 to 5. Mary may well have contemplated this case because she too was willing for her son to be devoted to God's service. Although not necessarily in the extremely ascetic fashion in which a Nazarite served God, but she might not have felt so comfortable about equating her son with Samson, who, although a great deliverer of Israel, was something of a moral enigma. In Hannah, however, there was a case with which Mary might have felt a special bond, for in the story of Hannah and Samuel is combined a woman despised and a son devoted to the service of God. None of the miraculous conceptions in the Old Testament involved a virgin. Hannah, however, knew something of the taunting to which Mary would be exposed because of the cruel scorn directed to her by Peninnah, 1 Samuel 1, verse 6. Mary must also later have had cause to compare herself with Hannah when she considered the remarkable degree of support provided by Joseph, who, like Elkanah, stood by her when she was the victim of vicious taunts. It is obvious that both women were deeply spiritual. Hannah, of course, was married and obviously older than Mary because it was already evident that she was barren. In spite of that difference, however, both women were subject of divine intervention in the provision of a son. In each case, a son who would be a spiritual leader for Israel. 1 Samuel 1 presents Hannah deep in silent prayer to God. So intense was her prayer that Eli mistook her for demeanor for drunkenness. And Hannah answered and said, "No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. 1 Samuel 1, verses 15 to 18. Twice Hannah identified herself as a maidservant, just as Mary did. Eli witnessed this heartfelt prayer and spoke with Hannah before dismissing her with a blessing. 1 Samuel 1, verse 17. And note the dignified composure of Hannah's response in verse 18 to the words not of an angel, but of Eli. They are so reminiscent of Mary's response to Gabriel. Hannah's response to this benediction foreshadowed the language used of Mary in Luke 1. Mary, as God's maidservant, was much graced, Luke 1, verse 28, AV margin, and this earlier maidservant, Hannah, likewise found grace in God's sight. The Song of Mary takes the reader on a whirlwind tour of the Old Testament doctrine of redemption. We marvel at the spiritual insights of an impoverished teenage Jewess who grew up in an obscure village in Galilee. In addition to quoting a wide range of scripture as outlined in the previous chapter, we mentioned in passing that Mary had patterned her song on that of Hannah in 1 Samuel 2. There are some remarkable parallels. In 1 Samuel 2 verses 1 to 10, Hannah in prayer sang of her joy at being given a son. "My heart rejoices in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at mine enemies because I rejoice in your salvation." No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly, let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumble are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne 7, and she who has had many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap, to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. There are clear links between the songs of Mary and Hannah. Not every verse has a direct link to Hannah's song, nor are the ideas in the same order. Both songs, however, cover broadly similar ground. Surely Mary was deeply conscious of Hannah as she expressed herself in the words recorded in Luke 1. Luke 1, verses 46 and 47. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." 1 Samuel 2. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at mine enemies because I rejoice in your salvation." Luke 1, verse 48. "For he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant, for behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." Luke 1, verse 49. "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." 1 Samuel 2, verse 2. "No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God." Luke 1, verse 50. "And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." Luke 1, verse 51. "He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts." 1 Samuel 2, verse 4 and 3. "The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumble are girded with strength. Talk no more so very proudly, let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." Luke 1, verse 52. "He has put down the mighty from their thrones, and exalted the lowly." 1 Samuel 2, verses 4 and 8. "The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumble are girded with strength. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from an ash heap, to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's." Luke 1, verse 53. "He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty." 1 Samuel 2, verse 5. "Those who were full hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne 7, and she who has many children has become feeble." Luke 1, verse 54. "He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy." Luke 1, verse 55. "As he spoke to our fathers, to Abram and to his seed forever." Hannah gave up her son to the service of God. "And she said, 'O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here, praying to the Lord, for this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord.' So they worshipped the Lord there." 1 Samuel 1, verses 26 to 28. In this respect, Hannah and Mary are alike. Mary was required to lend her son to God for as long as he lives. In Mary's case, quite literally. Hannah's sacrifice must have involved considerable heartache for a woman who was otherwise barren. Even though Mary was not barren like Hannah, her sacrifice also came at a considerable cost. In favor with God and man. As the child Samuel grew and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men, 1 Samuel 2, verse 26, an echo of this may be heard in Proverbs 3, verses 3 and 4. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them upon the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Clearly, Samuel grew, not just naturally, but in his appreciation of the ways of God. Mercy and truth were central to his life. They were obvious in his daily life, bound around his neck, and they found a home in his heart. Thus he received the favor of both men and God. The phrase mercy and truth is often used of the character of God. In combination, in the life of the servants of God, mercy and truth are able to purge iniquity. Proverbs 16:6. An even louder echo of both this testimony about Samuel and of the words in Proverbs is heard in Luke 2, where we read that the 12-year-old Jesus, like Samuel, developed in favor with God and men. Luke 2, verse 52, RV. This is a remarkable testimony. We can readily understand that Jesus would be favored by his heavenly Father, but Luke says he was also in favor with men, presumably the ordinary men and women with whom he mixed in Nazareth and Galilee. Notwithstanding the innuendo which we know continued to circulate about his origin, the Nazarenes would recognize and respect a diligent and honest tradesman. They would also honor the care we may presume he showed towards his widowed mother as he became the family breadwinner following Joseph's death. In accordance with his father's principle, the care of the fatherless and the widowed would have been a high priority for Jesus, which was not always the case with other religiously inclined men. See Mark 7, verses 11 to 13. Although his townsfolk would later express reservations about Jesus during his messianic ministry, it is recorded that this was because they had been very familiar with him as a humble carpenter in the midst. Whilst still among them in that role, they held Jesus in justifiably high regard, an indirect commendation of Mary as well as of Jesus.